It was dark. It was brutal. To think about the things that I did is kind of freaky. It's one of those things you're like, I remember her and she was fucked up. And the reason I did all of the things that I did was because I was so emotionally dropped by everybody. And it didn't matter. I prayed to die.
Hello, and welcome to Pissy But Pretty, a show about hindsight, hope, tangents, and cuss words. We are your hosts, Party Tricks Turned Semi-Responsible Women. I am your host, Heather Cairns.
And Emily Baggin. Hi.
Hi, it's us again.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to our channel.
Is that what it is?
Look at this. Why do they always have to do that?
I don't fucking know. And it's like backwards. It's always backwards. I can't read that.
They always have to put their hand up behind it.
That chick from like Mean Girls that had the K? Gretchen Wieners? Nope. Whatever.
Wieners. Okay. Anywho.
Full of secrets. Oh, there goes my nose again.
Welcome back to Pissy But Pretty.
Pissy But Proud.
Emily has a nose whistle. It's kind of the best thing ever. And here we are on episode 5. We made it to 5. Can you believe it?
I love that.
I wonder if people are still listening to us.
They should be. We've got great advice. We've got great stories. We're super funny. And we wear nude color zip-ups.
We're both in earthly colors.
Earth tones. Earth to Heather. Hi. Want a Wang Chung tonight? Okay.
Everybody Wang Chung.
Everybody's
Anywho,
gonna.
We're...
digressing.
Yeah. So in this episode...
on to the next one.
We're talking about partying into... Ooh. Partying our way right into addiction, we did.
We did that.
We were really good at it.
We got dedicated, and we just did it.
Did it.
Head first into the shallow end.
The shallow.
La, 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 la.
Anywho, where we left off, I'll let you talk about your addiction experience first. Since
okay.
We both have had issues with
Let's do
it.
This, Brutus.
Because we left off in episode 4, talking about how you were disfellowshipped, your dad died, you were living with the cousin on and off.
Reeseville.
In Reeseville.
He didn't work. Mm. Yeah, they don't work, apparently.
And who doesn't?
Men that I chose to fuck with back in the day.
You had a high standard.
I did. So, yeah, he didn't work. It was very depressing. It was very awful. He smoked weed. I found, like, baggies of drugs, like, all over our apartment. I wasn't there yet. I was just sort of drinking and miserable.
Into oblivion.
My dad was dying, so it was one of those things that I wanted to still do well according to how I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. I still wanted to be okay and good.
You know,
and good.
I see.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Drugs
were
bad. Not touching drugs was...
Right.
Even though you were drinking yourself into crazy town.
Crazy
drugs town. Was a no-no.
Yeah, I was about like 90 pounds, just soaking wet and awful and stressed and kind of working, but it was terrible. Whatever. Anyway, so yeah, he's, you know, surrounding himself with other witnesses that were disfellowshipped and were all into drugs. They would come to our apartment because they all sort of lived at home. Remember, I'm like 4 years younger. And the people that he hung out with were younger than him even. So these are like, I was probably like 24. I don't even know. Something along those lines. He was early 20s. Probably, no, it wasn't legal for him to drink yet. Then my dad died. He went from, it's in his liver. He was, you know, back at work at Harley Davidson for about 3 months and then he was gone. And it was fucked up. That decision that one day I'm sitting with this cousin and my boyfriend in our apartment, and I said, all right, let's smoke some weed.
Wow.
And that was it.
How did you find out your dad died? Because you weren't speaking to your family at the time, right? Or your sister was talking to you?
Yeah, my sister was telling me. He did hospice at home at mm-hmm. their house. So I was allowed to go visit them. He was congestive heart failure, so had that like rattle or whatever, you know, just skinny as can be. And we decided, we had been up for a couple of days, decided I was going to go get the cousin. We were going to go get something to eat. We were all going to shower, basically. So my sister went next door. My mom went upstairs. I went home and he passed. So I was at Perkins in Watertown and I got the call. I got the text. He's gone. I told the cousin, I was like, my dad just died. And he was like, wow, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. I went to the funeral. I got taken aside by one of the elders that was from the congregation that my dad was in. And he said, because this is such a sad day, we've decided that people can talk to you. And at the time, I mean, looking back on that now and as like a normal person, I should have fucking cold cocked him.
Yeah, you should have.
But I didn't. I still was in this belief that I was the worst of the worst. I was disfellowshipped. You can't get lower than that. So people were talking to me and hugging me, and I really liked your dad. And what is it? Eulogy?
Eulogy?
It was horrible. It had nothing about my father, nothing about his personality, nothing about him being an artist or played every instrument known to man, the sense of humor, the kindness, his dad dying when he was 14 and him rising to that occasion, how good he was to my fucking awful mother. None of that. It was all religion. We're going to see him again. He was a good man. He's going to be resurrected. It was so cold.
So sad.
And I remember sitting in that front row staring at his turquoise high tops. And just being like, what the fuck is this? Am I in the Twilight Zone? Nobody was crying because there's nothing about him. So
that's
I left.
So
I got up.
Sad.
Everyone's staring at me. My cousins, who were not witnesses, you know, coming up to me and hugging me. But my mom separated us so hard from everybody.
So can I just say, as you know, I'm friends with one of your cousins.
You are.
And she has told me how disgusted she was for you at that funeral. She said you were like sitting in the back, like your family wouldn't acknowledge you. And you were told you couldn't sit with them or something.
Mm-mm.
And she just fell. Yeah. She's like, Heather, it was like nothing you've ever seen before. There was just, she was missing. And then you look and she's not with anybody that she should be sitting with.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was disfellowshipped. That's what it meant. You were nothing.
She said that caused a big rift with, I don't know who is who's related to who, but that caused a big, big form of tension in your family was that funeral and how they treated you.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't right.
The cousin you know, Katie, is my uncle. It was my mom's brother. My mom has two brothers. One is polio, the oldest, and is fantastic. He's got Eric, who was the one other cousin that talked to me during the funeral. And then Katie is my uncle Bob's daughter. He's the youngest. Yeah, I wasn't allowed to sit with them. I wasn't allowed to be by anybody. And I got stared at. Like, I got up to walk out, and people are just like, stop talking. And because it was like standing room only, and they just separated. And I walked to the door. I'm like,
you were the leper.
Yeah. But I smelled really good. I mean,
Oh, God.
So, yeah.
Okay. So.
And my ex-husband didn't come. The new boyfriend didn't come. Didn't bother showing. Nobody from my ex-husband's family bothered to show up. Nobody I thought ever loved me bothered to show up. It's brutal, brutal. Yeah. So I went home, and honestly, it was probably that night that I looked at, you know, my boyfriend and was just like, all right, I want to die, and I'm going to do it slowly and painfully. And I did. I dove in head first. We were smoking weed constantly. We still hung out with just witnesses, but mind you, everybody is numbing that pain from being kicked out. So the first line of cocaine I did was probably the size of an earthworm. Ugh. And of course, you know me, I will not do anything half-assed. It was
You don't.
cleared off the table. And
the first, I mean, I've never done it. I feel like it sounds painful to snort something up your nose. I really do. But the first time you're doing what I'm assuming is a lot.
It was a
meant for Shaq or something. Not that he does.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. But these also, these were friends that were friends of my ex-husband, and I was nervous to see these people. And the cousin was like, it's okay. Everyone's going to be okay. They've accepted you. And, you know, and it was, he looked at me, this guy that was actually in our wedding looked at me. He's like, you ready, Emily? I was like, yep. I couldn't not be impressive because I felt like a piece of shit and he's actually going to be my friend now.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. I did as many drugs as I could get my hands on. This is October. In January, I got sick. We thought it was the flu. I was throwing up and fevers and just sick as can be. And it lasted like 2 weeks. And then it never really went away. The fever kept getting higher and higher. I remember like vomiting and like passing out in my bathroom. And the cousin came home. He wasn't home much because he was just out partying with other
vomiting
people.
Vomiting and passing out in your bathroom from the fever.
And being so sick. Okay. Yeah, being so sick. Yeah. Like this had gone on for like a few weeks.
Sure.
And he was just like tired of hanging out at home. So he was out partying. Yeah. Didn't he love me so much?
So much.
Yeah. He scooped me up, took me to the hospital, and I had kidney stones. My left kidney was basically like dying. I had about 105-something fever, so they were, like, packing me on ice. I ended up having to get a stent in my kidney, a PICC line in my veins because all my veins were crap from October to January. That's how hard.
Dang.
They found powder in the tubes of my kidney.
What does that mean?
Like, I don't know. Oh. I don't know. Can't be good. I don't know. It was just like shut down. It was like closed off from all of the stones and whatever. So okay. I had to get a stent. You know, it was awful. A couple of surgeries. So this is about 2 weeks. My mom never came. My sister never came. The cousin came to pick up my debit card and then left. I never saw him again. I was packed on ice.
Wait, your boyfriend came to pick up your debit card because he didn't work.
He didn't have money. Yeah, he had to get money.
He didn't come up to see you for any other reason but to get your debit card.
I don't remember. I don't think so. I just remember that was pretty pivotal to me. I just never saw him after that, right? Mom never came. That is something I bring up because that is not something you forgive.
Right.
When all of these
weren't
sort
you septic?
Of, I was septic. I was dying. They sent me home for a couple of days, and then like the stent slipped out and everything was like falling apart. So I was back in the hospital for another like week or so.
Question. Surely. Did your mom know?
Mm-hmm.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she still didn't come up and see you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
How do you get over that?
How do you get over that?
Mm-hmm.
I was on antibiotics for 4 months through the PICC line. A nurse came. My inheritance came from my dad. So I did get to pay that nurse. It was a couple thousand or whatever. But then Mother's Day, which what? Is that May?
May.
Mitten May was the first time I did ecstasy. All of my inheritance was spent on ecstasy every fucking weekend. I didn't give a shit. I didn't give a shit. So I would get all these kidney problems would, you know, arise like every 3 months.
And you still had your PICC line and you did ecstasy?
No, that came out after 4 months. In April, it did.
Gotcha.
Yeah, in April, I got my PICC line out.
Got out.
We celebrated with ecstasy.
I mean, why not? Go big or go home.
Because sepsis is so painful in your kidneys and stones, and the doctor that came to see me, the general doctor, primary care physician, was really a big believer in pain pills. Came the Percocets. Came that whole chestnut. I think the last prescription he gave me was like 150 Percocets, and it was like 2 every 4 hours. I hid them in a chip bag so the cousin wouldn't take my pills. And that came that addiction. So, yeah.
That's why you like chips so much.
I love chips.
I know. They're your go-to snack.
Mm-hmm. And Percocet. Holy cow.
So
that came my first withdrawal when I ran out of Percocets, and that was the most brutal experience. Never wanted to do that again. So I'm like, well, if you stay high in some way, shape, or form, you won't experience that.
Wow.
So everything and anything I could get my hands on, I did.
Were you still working at this time?
No, I don't even know. Some kind of disability or something I had to be on. And then just, you know, with a little bit of inheritance that I got, yeah. You know, it got me a little couple months of rent since he wasn't chipping in. Kind of got kicked out of that apartment, got sued.
Oh.
And yeah, that's when I moved to Milwaukee. And I promised myself this is going to be a new beginning. I have to get clean. I have to figure this out.
Yeah.
But I was so lonely, perpetually lonely. It's amazing what not having somebody there will do to you. So I invited him back in, the boyfriend. And he was my hookup for it. You know, he knew everybody that I knew. A lot of witnesses have them good drugs, apparently. Whoops, who would have thought? Yeah. So, yeah, living in Milwaukee, I hated it. It was awful. He still lived in Sullivan, so I'd always have to, like, drive back. And that's kind of when this, like, codependent, awful, trauma bond, volatile relationship started. I am a violent person.
You're so tiny. It's hard to imagine.
I know. Thank you. So is Jackie Chan, though. So
that's true.
Scrappy. Scrappy. Yeah. I usually threw the first punch, I think, which was pretty terrible. So we beat the shit out of each other, beat the hell out of each other. It was drugs. It was booze. It was partying. It was sex. Amazing, volatile, violent sex, and then beat the shit out of each other.
Sounds like a good time.
I know. Thinking back on it, I'm like, my God.
I don't know.
How am I not dead?
Yeah. Oof. Gosh.
Yeah. Beatings in the car. Like, I would want him to leave. We would be in, like, Oconomowoc, and I'd be like, get out of my car.
Were you high at the time?
Or usually withdrawing. Like, usually, yeah, just the withdrawal because we didn't have any money. Again, he's not working. I'm working in, like, St. Francis at that point, whatever, snorting drugs off bathroom floors. Throwing up a lot. I threw up a lot, which is probably bad. Gross. Anywho, I was filthy.
Off bathrooms, floors, at that.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time. I had to get through the day.
That was pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Because nowadays we wouldn't do that.
We wouldn't do that. No.
We would sanitize the bathroom floor first.
I did wipe it down with a paper towel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. You had standards of
I some did. Sort, I had yeah. really high standards.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. So there was a number of times when I lived below my aunt. She owned a house, and I lived in one of the apartments there. So my mom and my sister came over, I think, two times for, like, an intervention kind of thing. I remember his mom calling me, being like, have you seen how skinny he is? I was like, I don't even know where the fuck your kid is. You can find him, and you can tell him how skinny he is.
Right.
Tell him I missed that dick.
Oh.
I didn't say that. I was ready to hurt people, though.
Yeah, so we don't care about that at that point, I'm guessing. Or I guess you do.
Well, it was empowering. Yeah. The addiction to sex then sort of came out of, you know, feeling so awful about everything else. Every time I went out, which was quite a bit, I would meet somebody, bring them home, preferably married. There's a towel. There's the shower. Go home to your wife. You don't need to know my name. You don't need to know anything about this. I felt so empowered.
You were a lady of the night.
By being, I didn't get paid for it.
Yeah. You should have if That's you were telling. Doing that at that point.
Mm.
Have you, some sort of business sense.
I should have. See, where were you?
I could have made your whole marketing plan for
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We would have.
You wouldn't need a corner.
OnlyFans. I would have.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It was dark. It was brutal. To think about the things that I did is kind of freaky. It's one of those things you're like, I remember her. I remember her. And she was fucked up. And the reason I did all of the things that I did was because I was so emotionally dropped by everybody. And it didn't matter. I prayed to die all the time, all the time. You know, it was one of those things I remember, you know, being given heroin, but only been, I was told after, you know, that that's what it was. I couldn't even tell you how we did it. Never did needles, but, yeah, that's what that was. That's what that was. And it was like, oh, okay, whatever. I bought fentanyl patches and everything that I could get my hands on went in my body.
And you prayed to die. And that is sad. I'm really
make
glad
this
you
the
didn't.
Last fucking time. Make this the last fucking time. It was horrible.
So what was your out?
I met a guy. I met a clean guy.
Firefighter.
Firefighter.
Knew it.
Yeah. I called Rebecca. Right. I had had this violent argument with cousin. For the first time, I was punched and it was a little jarring. I was like, holy cow, you just did that. Ah, ew. So, ow. And he left. He had my debit card and he left, whatever. And I called Rebecca and we were sitting at Rookies in Okachi, blah, blah, blah. He was a bouncer, beautiful. And she was sort of hitting on him. I'm telling her, this is my rock bottom kind of thing. Something has to change or I'm going to die. And of course, she was very emotional and very upset by this because she's just got the biggest heart on the planet. Mm-hmm. And he walks in, whatever, she starts flirting with him. And yeah, we exchanged phone numbers. I tried to get away from the cousin, but that pull was tough. I mean, I got evicted. And I went to live with him. He invited me to live with him. He's like, here's like my key.
You guys were seeing each other then.
We started dating. Kind of fell hard. I always do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
like, well, because you like somebody who is giving you attention. You will fall with somebody who is showing you that.
He was nice.
Yeah.
He remembered my birthday.
Mm.
I hadn't celebrated a single fucking birthday. Because you don't do that when you're a Jehovah's Witness, and he wasn't. And
all it took was for somebody to remember.
He didn't
hit
me, and he remembered my birthday. He had a job, and his house was clean, and he didn't put me in horrible situations with horrible people.
He was a nice guy. I remember him.
He was a nice guy. He was a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cute too, from what I remember.
Okay.
He was cute.
Sure.
He was cute.
He was cute. Mm-hmm. He had big eyebrows. Mm-hmm. Whatever. But he, you know, he had a job. It was good. He was responsible. It was wonderful. It was fabulous. I remember we took all of my furniture from my Milwaukee apartment and put it in an alley. Everything I had, because I smoked in my apartment and just let people take it.
Yeah.
Take it. It's filthy. It's the memories. Bad juju out there. Yeah. So much toxicity in that apartment.
So you were seeing him and still seeing cousin at the same time.
Just for the drugs. I was not doing anything. Mm. I just went back for the drugs. But
firefighter didn't know you were doing drugs, obviously, because he was pretty straight-laced.
Very. He didn't even like that I smoked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he would do like 48-hour shifts. What am I going to do? I can't be alone with my head. I'm not going to die this way. So, yeah, I would go back. I would do a lot. I would get very, very sick and then drive home and try to pretend like everything was okay.
Hmm. So then you quit the drugs eventually.
I did. But the drinking continued, but it got worse. It got quite a bit worse. He was in an MC, which is a motorcycle club. And they
very
partied.
Sense of anarchy.
It so was. Like, I was basically Peg Bundy.
Yeah, I forget her name in the show, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who cares? She was pretty cool.
Pretty
she
cool.
She's really good.
Still is.
And of course, I made an amazing impression.
You have fearless. That effect on people.
Of course I do. Of course I do. And I knew that, but it's also one of those things that it's like when people first meet me, it's amazing. When they get to know me, it's ugly. It's gross.
It's not
bad.
Ugly. You it feel was. It is.
It was because I was a mess.
Yeah, but if people knew why, you were too scared to let most people close to you.
No.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, if they knew the real you, they would understand why you were the hot mess you were back then. But I also feel like with you, like when I first met you, you were larger than life, but I feel like you felt so you had to stay that way or people weren't going to like you.
Mm-hmm. I met you pre-drugs at Ground Zero.
Yes.
And then that part where I'm not in your life at all and I don't show up, I couldn't show Rebecca that. I couldn't show you that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't show them that I was with the cousin still, because I would call, you know, the two friends that I had and be like, oh my God, this is horrible. Yeah. And they're like, so leave, but you don't want to leave. And so, yeah, you saw me pre-drugs and then post.
Yeah. Yeah. You were gone for a long time. You're gone. I mean, in more way than one, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I had been septic probably a dozen times, in and out of the hospital, ICU. My body doesn't like drugs, I don't think.
I don't think most do.
Oh.
Mm.
I was so thin, though. Whatever. Yeah, I was sick. And
very
I waited.
Sick.
I waited for it. I just wanted to go.
Yeah.
But then I met, you know, a firefighter, and he was so nice, and it was wonderful. But things, you know, I thought they were fine, but to him it was not good. So he dumped me. He's like, I can't fix you.
Well, and honestly, he had a savior complex, and there was a lot of baggage to uncover with you.
Baggage.
But if you, for you, you were probably happier than ever, because this was a normal relationship.
Yep.
So
yes. Yeah,
it was a
sure.
normal man, a good man.
It's a good man. Yep.
But for him, like, he was at that time, like, the best guy you had ever dated.
Yes.
I wonder for him if he would have said you were the biggest hot mess he had ever dated, but he wanted to save you.
Sure.
You weren't letting that happen, because even though it wasn't the drugs, it was the partying, it was the alcohol, it was the need of constant attention.
He hated when I drank.
Yeah.
And I remember, again, at first, it's awesome when I drink. It's awesome. And then when you deal with it for a couple of years and you're picking up the pieces, and the on the receiving end of drunk Emily, which is violent and volatile, he didn't want to hang with that.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him.
Right.
I don't blame him.
Right.
It was awful.
Yeah. Do you know whatever happened to him and cousin?
Cousin's married.
Still addicted?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know.
Not,
I don't think
sake.
So. I hope not. He, the firefighter, married kids.
Nice.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we need to end this one. Mm-hmm. We'll pick up next time, and we'll dig a little deeper into. Chicken giblets? Anyways, we will dig a little deeper into, there I said it again, into your addiction with alcohol. We'll get into my addiction with alcohol, my addiction with
sex, food. Me.
But I don't know if it was really a sex addiction. It was just a companion addiction, I guess,
There you go.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what it is.
Yeah, that's
you
true. You're right.
You just want a body next to you.
Yeah, you're... Ew, that sounds very Jeffrey Dahmer.
I didn't eat it.
Ooh, I'm hungry. Anyway, not for that.
Shwarma.
Anyways, we'll get into that stuff next episode.
Oh, I can't wait. This is exciting. Very sweaty.
I'm not excited to talk about my stuff. I've been liking talking about your stuff lately.
Oh,
but
no, it's your turn.
Yay.
You've got mine on the table. My mess is before you.
I love it that way.
Spread and gross.
Okay.
I made it weird.
All right. You made it weird. All right. We'll catch you guys on the next episode. Thank you. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
No, I still can't do it. Thanks for letting us tickle your ear hole and not turning us off after the first 30 seconds. Don't forget to subscribe and join our email list to get in on the action.